Father, I thank you, Lord, because the Holy Spirit is pulling, tugging on our hearts already, urging us to say yes. And as we yield to you, Lord, let your will be done in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We declare that this morning. In Jesus' name, well, let our words, Lord, those who speak, let our words be like the pen of a ready writer. Let our doctrine, which is not ours but yours, drop like the dew in the name of Jesus. Let it be like honey out of the rock. Hallelujah. Honey out of the cone, satisfying our soul. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory, and this yearning that is in us, O Lord, to know your will, to seek to know it, fulfill and fill our hearts with thy spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, well, yesterday we talked about God's eternal purpose. I think I laid a good foundation for his eternal purpose, taking it all the way from the beginning and stressing that Christ is the center of that purpose, God's eternal purpose. And it was important for us to speak about that before we start to say, all right, what's the purpose of God for my life and so forth? You know, because it's not about us. It's about Christ. And so we got to understand what was in the mind of God concerning Christ. And then we may understand where we fit into the picture. Praise the Lord. But also we must cover in this series, you know, God's purpose for our lives. Because that's a question that a lot of people, you know, try to answer. And yesterday I gave some examples of people that God called, because anytime people are thinking of the purpose of God, they're thinking of the calling. So I gave the examples. And the emphasis yesterday was that, look, these people that God called, and I give you one or two more stories today. You know, God just called them. It wasn't their intention to be called. They were not necessarily seeking to be in that particular purpose that God called them for. Sometimes they didn't even know anything about it. You know, we gave the examples of Abraham, gave the examples of David, even Mary, all these people. Yeah, some of the apostles, you know, Jesus just called them. Had no clue that he was going to call them. Yeah, although God had deposited in their spirit, I'm sure he did, because these things were chosen in him before the world began. But just call them. He called them in the midst of whatever they were doing. Some of them argued and so forth. They tried to say, we can't do it. There's a story, you know, a couple of stories of people who thought they couldn't do it. You know, Moses, he didn't want to do it. One time he thought he could do it by his own strength. Well, 40 years later, that thing had completely gone out of the system and he didn't want any part of it. But, you know, God chose him anyway, sent him to go do it. We see the story of Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah said, well, I'm a little child. I can't do it. God said, don't say you're a little child. You're going to tell me something I don't know. You know, you're not a little child. I'll call you and you're going to do what I want to do. And he started to, you know, try to get out of it. Many times, you know, that was the case. It wasn't always the case, you know, that people that God called were, you know, spending a whole lifetime waiting to be called. They were just doing their thing. Here's what the Lord said to Jeremiah. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. It's a powerful lesson. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee and ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. Was this something he did? Was this something he was looking for? I'm talking of Jeremiah now, when he wasn't even born. You know, was he spending all his life trying to find out whether he was going to be a prophet? You know, God just called him. Praise God. So the lesson that I was trying to bring out there was that, look, when it has to do with God's eternal purpose, it's not up to you. Now, there are some things that are up to us when we're trying to figure out what God wants us to do in our personal lives. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 will tell you, you know, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In those cases, yes, we're seeking to know the will of the Lord, but that's not his eternal purpose. That's just, you know, what do I do? Do I go here? Do I do there? You know, what career should I go? Who should I marry? All those kind of things. You know, we need to have the leading of God for that. As many as are led, Romans 8 and 14, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We must be led and we must develop ourselves to the point where, you know, we can, you know, have the mind of Christ and know his will. We must know his will, you know, but when it comes to his eternal purpose, it's completely up to him. It's not because we are praying about it. It's the one that just does it, even before people know anything. So when even certain times when God chooses some strategic people to do certain things, and when the angel of the Lord came to Gideon, you know, in the book of Judges, he himself was, arguing, you know. And the Lord said to him, well, now the angel of the Lord said, thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee. And he said, mighty man of valor, what is that? Look at me, I'm hiding here in the corner away from the Midianites. And you say, mighty man of valor? Well, yeah. The Lord said, yeah. You know, he didn't see that as thought. So, you know, if the Lord be with us, can read all that story, you know, in Judges chapter 6. If the Lord be with us, where are all those miracles that were heard? I don't think the Lord is with us at all. I mean, these Midianites are bullying us. And, you know, we do all the wine press and all these things. And then they come in and take it from us, you know. So you're telling me the Lord is with us? And the Lord looked on him and said, go in this thy might. See, God saw a fire inside of him. Go in this thy might and thou shalt save Israel by the hand of the Midianites. Save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? See, you know, sometimes people don't even know it. He didn't know that God was calling and sending him. And he said, well, wherewith shall I know that I shall save Israel? You see, this is all the, you know, back and forth, you know, because, you know, he wouldn't really even know it. And when the Lord spoke to him, well, he said, well, I'm still not sure. If this is indeed so, well, I'm going to put a piece of cotton wool here on the ground, you know, overnight, let the cotton wool be wet and the ground be dry. And so he went, and so it was. And he said, oh, well, okay, that one was easy. I mean, maybe the cotton wool soaked up all the water. This time around, I'll put a fresh piece of cotton wool, let the whole ground around it be soaking wet, and let the cotton wool be dry. That one is an impossible situation. You know, and the Lord did it. The Lord was patient with him too, because, you know, he really didn't know. I was trying to be sure. You know, so yeah, you can be sure, but God called it. No, there's no getting out of it. You know, so there's a lot of stories like that in the Bible. And what I was trying to say yesterday, though, was this. You know, there can be a lifetime of searching to find the purpose of God. You know, because sometimes, you know, that's the teaching that we've received. You know, keep searching, you know, until you find the purpose of God. I mean, how long are we going to search? You know, so the counsel of the Lord shall stand. Whatever the Lord wants, you know, what I want to tell us today is you just be ready to say yes. That's why I play those songs. God just wants us to be available. It's not a matter of us spending our whole life trying to figure out what God's calling us to. You be available. He'll make it known. If he wants to you to do certain things, he'll tell you. He will make it plain. You know, say, write the vision and make it plain. That he that gets it may run with it. I mean, God must make it plain. There's no mystery about it when he's calling you. I mean, if calling you to send you to do something and he doesn't tell you, then what's the purpose? I mean, how can you know what it is that he wants you to do if he doesn't tell you? He's going to tell you. However, you know, there's an aspect of our lives that, look, we must live our lives. Excuse me. Jeremiah, before he was born, God called him. We read a story yesterday in Romans chapter 9. Rebecca, when she was pregnant with twins, before the twins were even done anything, had done anything, you know, God said, I chose the younger to be above the elder, which is contrary. I mean, the firstborn must have the birthright, you know, and so on. And there's a lot of things that God does. It's on him if he wanted. You know, there was a story of Joseph. When his father Jacob finally came to Egypt, you know, and how he brought his, you know, two sons to Jacob, you know, to bless them. And he knew who the elder was, and he was trying to make sure that he guided the elder son to make sure that, you know, he would, Isaac will put his right hand on the elder to put the blessing upon him. But Joseph said, well, this one is the elder one, so he's got to get the birthright. You know, but, you know, Jacob's what I meant to say. Jacob crossed his hands. And Joseph said, no. And he said, yeah, I know it, you know. And he crossed his hands anyway. God was demonstrating something there. It's not all the time the way we think it's going to be. You know, but it's God that does the choosing. There's nothing we can do about that. What we can do, though, is if we discover that God has chosen us, then we ought to be all in. Praise God. He'll be all in. Hallelujah. Because he knows what he's doing. There was something in you before he chose you. Jesus told disciples, you did not choose me. I chose you. And they were not trying to choose him. He chose them. On and on and on. So that's what we were talking about yesterday. Today I want to bring a different dimension of God's purpose, or eternal purpose, and even his purpose in our lives. And we'll talk about his purpose in our lives. You know, eternal purpose, you know, I'm going to go back and forth in this series. We'll talk more about, you know, the kingdom of God, the role that, how that fits into God's eternal purpose. We'll talk about that some more. But today I want to talk about some aspect that affects us in our daily lives. This thing we call destiny and providence. I'll talk about that today. You know, because it kind of aligns with this subject. A destiny, for instance, is something that will occur. You know, it's going to happen. It's preordained. So we call it destiny. And when it aligns with God's purpose, or even his eternal purpose, well, we say that it is preordained by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 23, we see that concept is brought out. And on the day of Pentecost, you know, Peter was explaining certain things, teaching them, I mean, speaking to the crowd and so forth. And he said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth." This is verse 22 of Acts 2. "A man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you all, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken up by wicked hands, have slain and crucified, whom God raised up, having loosed him from, you know, pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding by it." So, but what is he talking about here? He said, look, what happened to Christ was determined or preordained, determined by God, you know, as foreknowledge and determinate counsel of God. So the foreknowledge of God plays into many things. I mean, when the twins were in the womb, even though they were not born yet, God already foreknew which way each one would go. Excuse me. So, God has foreknowledge of all things and use that foreknowledge. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 28-29, we're told that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are thee called according to his eternal purpose. You know, who are the ones that are called? Thee called. You know, that's a special, you know, he uses the definite article there. Didn't just say they are called, but they are thee called. So there's a special qualification to these people, in alignment with his eternal purpose, called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. So it starts, everything starts with his foreknowledge. He also did predestinate. Now, predestinate is predetermined their destiny. You know, the predestinate is a predetermined destination that you are going. So God predetermined that they will be conformed to the image of his son, so that Christ may be the blueprint, firstborn among men, brethren, but others look like Christ. So the predeterminate counsel of God, when it brings to pass his will in our lives, you know, it will be something that is going to occur. And we call it destiny. That's what we call it in the human realm. What? What about providence? I'm talking about destiny and providence today. So destiny is something that's going to occur. It's something that God has planned. It's in his will. It's in the purpose. Well, those that are in alignment with purpose, providence will work. You know, for them, this providence is what we see working in Romans 8 and verse 28. A providence. Yeah, even though things are looking bad on the outside, providence of God is working to bring it all together. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly, the disappointments, the times of joy, the times of happiness, the times of sorrow, everything. Providence will bring it together. You know, because if you are called, if you are the called according to his purpose, providence will be working for you. Therefore, we define providence as, you know, God's continuous act to protect, guard, and to make provision to ensure that what he has preordained or his preordained will come to pass. So providence is working with the will of God to bring that destiny, you know, that thing, that purpose to pass in our lives. God will watch over it. You know, watch over it. It's called an expected end, that destiny. Jeremiah 29:11 talks about it. It said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of good and peace and so forth, not thoughts of evil. I'm giving you expected end. That expected end is destiny. That's from God's perspective. It's the expected end. Now, we may not know what it is at first, unless he reveals it, but that's where he's taking us. And his providence will make sure he guides and protects. Now, let's look at a story. The story of Mary. Let's go back to that. And after she had the child, you know, and Joseph took her to be his wife, because the angel said, don't put her away. This thing is by the Lord. Okay. So when Herod was trying to kill all the children, angel of the Lord came to Joseph in a dream and said, there be those that are wanting to kill the child. Therefore, arise, take the mother and the young child and flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word again, until those people are gone from the scene. Well, that was providence protecting the, you might call it, the destiny of the child. You know, but it was protecting the purpose of the child. Providence. And providence will also raise up what I call destiny helpers. I mean, Joseph became, in this case, I'm talking about Joseph, the husband of Mary, became in this case a destiny helper for Jesus, the baby. And so he was one that God would use to save the life of the baby. Now, of course, it was also that a prophecy might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled, that which was written, out of Egypt have I called my son, Hosea 11:12. You know, God had to be fulfilled. So that had to happen. But God was using his providence to protect the child. Praise the Lord. And he had to use somebody else. Now, destiny helpers, God will raise them up along the way to help protect his purpose for your life. Don't worry about it. It's all in his hands. You know, now, there are even times, I've talked about this in the past, there are even times that what I call would be destiny destroyers will become unwilling destiny helpers. Yeah, I mean, people who want to snuff out your light, destroy your life because of envy and whatever. And kind of like the other Joseph in the family of Jacob and his brothers, the patriarchs, right? You know, he was hated. His brothers envied him because he was a favored child. And his father liked him more than everybody else. And moreover, he brought an evil report of all the bad things that his brothers were doing. They hated him even more. And then on top of that, he told his brothers some dreams that have made it appear as if he would be over them. So they hated him even more. I mean, you know, all these things. And one day when they had an opportunity, they said, ah, here comes the dreamer of dreams. Let's bump him off. And then we'll see what will become of his dreams. They were destiny or would be, now they can't, nobody can destroy your destiny, but would be, they wanted to be destiny destroyers. You see, that's what they wanted to do. But, you know, it was Joseph's destiny that he will be above them. See, God chose that. That's what we call destiny in the human realm. God chose that. He was showing it to him by dream. He didn't, you know, nobody knew how high it's going to be. And people try to snuff it out, make sure it doesn't happen. Well, among them, even, God started to raise up a destiny helper. One of the brothers said, well, you know, come on. don't kill him. Just, you know, do this. And he wanted to come back and save him. Throw him over here. You know, in his mind, he wanted to come back and save him. Okay, so they did throw him to the pit. And before he could come back and save him, his brothers say, well, here comes a band of Ishmaelites. Sell him into the, just get him out of our sight. You know, and we'll never have to see him again. We'll just tell his dad that he's dead and he's been killed. Now, they themselves, even though they were planning and plotting to destroy Joseph's destiny, we'll see what will become of his dreams. Well, they were playing into God's hands of becoming unwilling destiny helpers, because they didn't know that what they were doing in their mind, trying to destroy his destiny, was actually pushing Joseph towards his destiny. Everything that was happening to Joseph, all the negative things, Potiphar's wife, and to send him to prison and blot out his name from remembrance, so to speak, just put him in the slammer and forget him there. Well, all of that stuff was pushing him toward his destiny. He had to actually go to prison in order to get a chance to stand before Pharaoh. He didn't know it, you know, but the favor of God was upon him, even in prison. See, providence was working. See how providence and destiny work together? Destiny in this case is what you call the determined purpose of God in his life. God had determined that he was going to be above his brethren. You know, and no matter what he did wrong, he did wrong by blowing off, you know, shooting off his mouth. He kept this thing to himself. Don't say anything to anybody. But despite all of that, providence would protect that. You know, the devil got a hold of it and tried to kill him, tried to do everything. But providence kept on guiding and protecting him. And finally, you know the rest of the story. One day, the providence of God guided him to a position where he was able to interpret a dream for both the baker and the butler. That Pharaoh also had sent to prison at the same time that he was sent to prison. Eventually, he got a chance to stand before Pharaoh. Now, did he know at that time that, you know, all of this, you know, will play out the way it was? The whole time that he was thrown into the pit, the whole time that he was being carried away by the Ishmaelites and so forth, that devil would have been telling him, because his brothers told him. His brother said that. We'll see what will become of his dreams now. The devil will be saying, you're going to be above your brother, huh? We'll see. You're going to rot away in this pit. Well, when he pulled out of the pit, the devil would tell him, how are you going to be ruler over your brothers now? They're carrying you to a foreign land. You will never see your father again. You never see your brothers again. All that stuff, I'll be above my brother. We'll see about that. The whole time, they will be mocking him, you know, trying to destroy his destiny and everything. But providence, see, you can't shake it. The providence of God, glory to God, will protect that destiny and that purpose that God had for him. No matter even his own mistakes. But in the integrity of his heart, he did not fall for the seducer or the seductress that wanted to seduce him. He didn't fall for it. And he paid dearly for it. He went to prison for it. But so be it. You suffer for the integrity of your heart, you know, so be it. And God was working all things out. Finally, when he stood before Pharaoh, you see, and here's another thing too. The giftings of God in Joseph's life, you know, like the ability not only to see dreams, but also to interpret dreams. See, those things were being developed in his life. And all those things that God had planted in him, God was going to use that to bring him to his destiny or that purpose. See how it all works? Now, God doesn't play dice with our lives. Even though of all the things I said yesterday, we're not going about, you know, we didn't even know what we are seeking initially. But God is not just playing dice with our lives. Say, okay, well, let me just throw these dice and see how it comes out. No, he already has a, you know, purpose, and he has a plan too. And I'll talk more about the plans later on, but right now I'm talking about the purpose. And, but the things that are in God, God put them in there. These are some of the things that people tell you that try in discovery. That's really what we need to discover. Yeah, what are these things that I find that God's already put? You might have the ability for dreams. You might have this and this and this and this and this. That those are things that were there. Not because you were, I mean, not because David wanted to be, I mean, Joseph wanted to be a dreamer. He was a dreamer, you know. But God will use those things. See, yours may be, you know, a gifting, a talent in this and that, but you must know what it is. Now, when Jesus, in the parable of the pounds and the talents and so forth, when he gave these talents to these people, the one he gave five and the one two and the one he gave one, did they not know what he gave them? Did he just give them something mysterious and then say, go do something with it? Of course not. They knew what it was. This one knew it was five talents or 5 pounds or 10 pounds or whatever it was. They knew what it was. And they, you know, and Jesus told them, go do something with it. You know, and the other one, I mean, in the parable, the master told them that. And the other one as well, they knew what it was. This other one that even hid his talent, he knew what it was. He just hid it. Didn't want to do it. You know, because you were looking at somebody else and thinking that his master was mean. Well, but he knew what he was. So that's the area of discovery, knowing what it is. But when God gives it to you, I mean, you will know what it is. Joseph knew he could dream dreams. Now, he may not have known that, oh, his dream someday will make him become ruler of the world, so to speak. But he knew he could dream dreams, you know. And so, and the ability to interpret those dreams. And this thing was being developed, you know. At first, all he had was dreams. And he didn't necessarily know the interpretation. He just told the dream the way it was, you know. He said, look, if a man has a dream, let me tell the dream. He that has my word, let me tell my word faithfully. So he had a dream, he told the dream. But by the time he got to prison, see, these things have been working in his life, you know. Things are getting more sharper. You know, sharper and sharper. Now he's knowing how to interpret dreams, even dreams of others. See, this gift is now working, it's developing, you know. At the time the baker and the butler told him their dreams, he said, oh, you know, he was able to interpret it. He didn't even have to pray. He it was already there. This thing was working. He just knew it. You know, and finally, comes before Pharaoh. And this gift has now been developed. See, God strategically put him through all these things. The dreams, the gifting to interpret dreams, ability to dream himself, symbolic representation in dreams and things. He now understands it. By the time he stands before Pharaoh, my goodness, he puts it out point blank. And Pharaoh said, oh my goodness, you know. And then the next thing promotes him over the entire land. And all that has been said in the dreams before that people tried to snuff out, kill it, destroy it, it came to pass. And everybody that was doing those evil to him thought they were going to destroy his destiny. They were actually would be destiny destroyers. They became unwilling and unknowing destiny helpers. And so you see how, but it was providence. Providence is working with that destiny to bring that purpose of God, you know, protect it along the way. You're going to protect it. You can't do anything to it. Jesus had a destiny before the world even began. He would be the Lamb of God slain for the world. And when until that time came, there's nothing you can do about it. You can try to kill him as a baby. It's not going to work. God is going to protect that. And, you know, even when he came out finally in his ministry and his preaching and so forth, people tried to throw him headlong, you know, from the cliff down. Even the devil tried to jump over this cliff so he could die or whatever. No, it's not going to happen. God's going to protect that thing. When they try to throw him down, he just walked through the midst of them. It's not time. And that's not the way by which you will die. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down and I take it up again. This commandment I've received of my Father. So, destiny is working, but providence is guiding that, protecting him and so forth all along the way. There's nothing you can do about it. And when it is time, it will appear in its time. Glory to God. You know, so that's how these things work. Now, we've seen there are some major things like, you know, destinies in the Bible, some of which I've talked about. There are some minor stories along the way as well, you know, the journeys of life. Even an individual may have some little destinies along the way in your journey. You know, you get to here before you get to there. I mean, it's like you're going on a long trip. Even when you take a flight, sometimes they make a stopover or a layover or this and that and this. You know, little destinies along the way, but there is a real destination. And, you know, God will protect and guide you along the way. Now, and when we come to the Lord, or I should say, when we come to the Lord and receive the Spirit of God, if we yield, see, this is the area where people, you know, get into, I want to seek for the will of God. We should. But when we yield to the Spirit of God to lead us, you know, and let him have his way, like those songs we listened to at the beginning, you know, we may save ourselves from some hurt. You know, but look, you're going to get there. There's no way, no how. You're going to get there. But it's predetermined that you will get there. Now, sometimes in our natural life, though, when we're going somewhere, if you want to take a trip, naturally speaking, even today with GPS and everything, you got to know the destination. And you got to put that destination in from where you are to where you're going. And then it will map out a plan for you of how to get there. In fact, there are real-time updates that it will tell you along the way. Ah, there's traffic jam in that place. Go this way. Even if you miss the way, it will tell you, recalculating, go this way. And so on and so forth. You know, so that's how it's working. You know. Now, but you are going to get there. That's where you're going. You know where you're going. Now, if you don't know where you're going, you're not likely to know how to get there. You know, chances are you're not even, and even if you got there, you wouldn't know you got there because you didn't know you were going there. See, so that's why we try and we must try to understand what God is doing, where he's taking us. That's important. Don't let nobody say that I'm bashing that. No, that's important. We must understand that. But if it has to do with God's eternal purpose, not just our daily lives here and there and there, which is also important, but if it has to do with God's eternal purpose that is lined up with the things of how to gather together all things in Christ, there is nothing that devil or anybody, not even you, can do about it. That will come to pass. Hallelujah. That's the one where he says, I am the Lord, declaring the end from the beginning, saying, my counsel shall stand. Ha! Glory to God. And I will do all my pleasure. Now that is his eternal purpose. His eternal counsel shall stand. Glory to God. And I will do all my pleasure. Let's read Isaiah chapter 46. I'm going to read verses 8 to 10. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. And there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand. And that's his purpose. There's nothing you can do about that one. I mean, I was talking yesterday about the devil waiting for God to make a move before he does something. There is nothing devil can do about it. You know, God already knows all the moves the devil's going to make and the outcomes, and he has an antidote, an answer for it all. Now, in our personal lives, we have struggles of what we face. And those things may be painful and hurt and put us into a downer kind of mode at times. But remember, those of you who are here when we did the series of Can You Smell What the Lord is Cooking? Yeah, you know, the ingredients that he's using individually, they may not be pleasant. You try to eat the pepper, or those of you who are Nigerians, the iru and all this smelly stuff individually, they're awful. You can't eat them. But when you blend it all together, and the master chef takes it and blends all that stuff together, both the one that tastes nice and the one that tastes terrible, and all that stuff, and he blends it all together, out comes this incredible, beautiful meal. Sumptuous meal. It smells great. You know, the individual thing might not have smelled great. You know, so that's why he says, all things work together for good. Now, it's not just the good things. The good things are already good. They don't need to work together. It's mostly even the bad things. Bad, good, ugly, whatever. Circumstances of life, your background, your education, your whatever. Good times, the bad times. Go put it all together. Blend out something and something beautiful comes out of it. Because it's in the hands of the master chef. Cooking it all up together. And when it's done, he will serve it up. Glory to God. That's even our personal lives, let alone, you know, the mystery of his will in his eternal purpose. Even in your personal lives, God has these things all worked out. See how, look at your palms right now, the palm of your hand. There are these things called fingerprints. These fingerprints are unique. There are no two persons. I mean, only the mind of the cosmic Holy Spirit. I mean, the cosmic mind of the Holy Spirit can do these things. Because how can you, billions, trillions of people that pass through this earth, no combination. I mean, all these combinations, even twins, triplets, whatever, they cannot have the same fingerprints. It never happens. It's unique. Oh, well, that tells you that. And this is about the plan. You know, the fingerprints are the plan. Yeah, not exactly the purpose, but the plan. And it's coded. And only the Holy Spirit can decode it. Now, the muttering spirits and peeping spirits and palm readers and all these things, they try to figure it out. They're looking into those fingerprints. they cannot figure it out. You know, and no believer should ever submit themselves to that nonsense. You know, but they're trying to figure it out, but they can't figure it out. But they cajole the people with all kinds of things, you know, to make people believe that they can figure it out. You can't do it. It's coded. It's uniquely coded, and only the Holy Spirit can decode it. You know, I put it out there. It's unique. What you're going through may be similar to somebody else, but it's never the same. Yeah, God's got a plan. I'll get you there. You have to trust him. When you look at your palm, you see that you can't figure out your fingerprints, then put it in his hands. Yeah, that's why he made it so complex, so complicated, that nobody can figure it out. But it's right there. Not only his purpose, but plans for your life. Plan is, you know, step by step, what will happen to get you there. You know, and you plan a trip, you plan it. You know where you're going and you plan the trip. How you're going to get there, the strategy and everything is coded in those fingerprints. And you don't know it, but God knows it. Now, this is why we must seek the Lord. That's what we are seeking. But not, you know, it's not about, oh, you know, you sit down all your life trying to figure it out. You will never be able to figure it all out. You know, I mean, even Jesus said, look, you know, can you by thinking, just thinking about it, you're burdening about it, you're thinking about it, can you add 1 inch to your height or make one hair white or black? If you can't do that, then what? You know, you can't do it. So, but the Lord, he already knows it. Glory to God. He already knows it. And he's going to bring it to pass. Now, sometimes we need the wisdom of God. Actually, a lot of times, we need the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is what guides us into His proper plans for us. And many times, if we don't use wisdom, we're going to hurt ourselves. And, you know, if people don't use wisdom in life, they fall into many pitfalls. Now, of course, if you have faith, even if you are in a pit hole, quagmire, you know, quicksand or whatever. Sami said, Lord, pull me out of miracle. That's like quicksand. You're struggling, you get deeper, you know. But if you have faith, no matter how deep you are into that problem, God will pull you out. That's what faith does. However, if you had wisdom, you would not have fallen into that ditch in the first place. A prudent man foreseeth the evil. Now, sometimes we don't have that prudence and we must go to the Lord. Show me the landmines. See, when you're going through a field that has landmines, God knows where they are. You step on something, blow up on your face or blow your feet off or even blow you off. But God can help you navigate. You see, say, nah, don't step in that place over here. Follow me. You know, you just navigate through that and escape all the landmines. See, that's all the wisdom of God does. And that's His providence in your life. But if you don't listen, you step on one of those landmines and blow up one of your feet. You know, God forbid that you blow up your whole life. You know, God will still pick up the pieces, fix it up. He's going to get you where you're going. Because, you know, if it's in His divine plans for your life, or divine purpose, I should say, He's got a plan how to get you there. And we must trust Him for that. Now, Moses, we talked about his life yesterday. As many of you know, providence protected his journey toward his destiny. You know, I mean, when he was born, he was going to be killed, just like all the other children. The Pharaoh then said, look, these Jews are multiplying. The way that they multiply, of course, you got to have a male child. If there's no male child, the female are useless. They can't reproduce. So kill all the male children. And you know, so he was going to be killed with everybody else. But providence protected him. And he was not going to die with the rest of the people. That's providence in his life. He was a destined deliverer. He didn't know it at first. And even when he began to sense social injustice, he tried to put it into his own hands. It didn't work. He ran away 40 years and then he didn't want any part of it. But providence will bring him there. And you're going to do it. Praise the Lord. We've already told you the story of Joseph. Now, what about the story of David? You saw, we heard some of it yesterday and you knew it yourself already. You know, all the things that, you know, David was not even invited, you know, to the, in what would be the coronation, ceremony or the selection, the audition for the king. He was not invited, yet he was the chosen one. That's right. He was the chosen one, but he was not invited. No, not even Samuel knew it. See, God puts these things out there so that we can see the great mind of the Lord. He doesn't have to tell you everything. Not even the prophets. He doesn't tell them everything. Tell them some things. They may know a little more than others, but God doesn't tell anybody. In fact, our mind cannot contain. If God told you anything, your mind will blow up because you can't handle it. Praise God. So He only tells you enough. And, you know, but lo and behold, the one that was rejected and despised by his father and his brethren, I was playing with the sheep, leave him alone, you know, and they left him there, but he was the chosen one. That's right. Despised and rejected of men, but chosen by God. See, that's destiny. And your destiny, which God has chose you to be, which we call the purpose of God for your life, His providence will protect you, that destiny. And you'll get there. Praise the Lord. Now, if you don't listen to the Lord, you hurt yourself along the way. But He'll get you there nonetheless. You might, you know, have a missed flight, the long delays, and all kinds of things, you know, but you'll get there. Praise the Lord. What about, you know, Esther and all these people? the providence of God, even in the land of slavery, providence of God protecting them through that and so forth. You know, Esther lost her parents and so forth. You know, her uncle took her up and all that. You know, and you know everything. And both of them were captured, sent to slavery. They really didn't know. Nobody knew that she was going to become what she was going to become. But she was destined for greatness. And it didn't matter whether she was captured, became a slave, or whatever. It was already destined for greatness by the hand of the Lord. And she was going to be the savior at that time. You know, of all the, you know, the lineage of the Jews, lest they be destroyed by their greatest nemesis. But they didn't know it. You know, we talked about the story of Mary. She never knew anything. But yes, she was the chosen one. Isaiah 7 and 14 speaks about a virgin shall conceive. Everybody knew it's in that story, but nobody understood it. I mean, knew that it's in the Bible. Nobody knew what it meant. Mary, when she was chosen, she couldn't believe it. How can this thing be? Well, the angel of the Lord told her, it will be, because the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Hallelujah. That's the providence of God. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Glory to God. Now, what about Jesus himself? You know, we've told these stories. I mean, see how they went. And all along their lives, many of these people, they had what were called destiny helpers. At times, some of those destiny helpers initially started out to be, would be destiny destroyers. But God masterminded their plans and turned it around, you know, to bring to pass his purpose in the lives of those people. So today, this is just a little, I won't call it digression, but another angle in this very, very broad subject of God's purpose, both eternal purpose and his purpose for your life. Today, I will deal more on his purpose for your life. See, now, sometimes God's purpose for our life may align with his eternal purpose. Like Isaac, Abraham. They were in his eternal purpose. They were in the lineage that would be chosen. Mary was in that lineage. David was in that lineage. And so even in their lives, you know, the choices we make, the things that happen to us and so forth, if your life is in alignment and God has chosen you to be a part of his eternal purpose, nothing can prevent it. You know, David was chosen. Even the evil that David did, which the Lord condemned him for and punished him for, and we're not justifying it, but, you know, he repented and he come right back to where God wanted him to be. Until this day, his throne will be the chosen throne that Jesus will set upon. He was determined, you know, beforehand. So these things are so. Now, is your life in his divine purpose for his eternal purpose? I don't know. But what we do know is the life that God has handed us, we need to live it out, you know, let God's will be done. What he has in store for us, how our little pieces fit into the grand picture of things, that's up to him. You know, all I know is the pieces that he has handed me. You know, I don't know what, you know, he's doing, whatever he's doing. What I know is what he's doing in my life. So I got to make sure that it's fruitful. That's where the subject of find purpose in your life, that's where it comes from. You know, but I don't want people to waste their whole life saying I'm seeking purpose. No. The divine purpose of God will find you. You live your life with the readiness to say yes. This is all the story we read in the Bible. That's what he was. Living their life. Peter was being a fisherman, you know, but Jesus said, no, I will make you a fish out of man. Peter said, no, I want to be a fisherman. Initially, that was in his heart, you know, but when Jesus called, he left it, he followed it. Was he trying? to prepare her to be a fisher of men? Of course not. And so on and so forth. So you know that. We said we dealt with it a lot yesterday. So now all of these things that we've talked about bring us to this point. There are major and minor destinies. Some of the major destinies may align directly with God's eternal purpose. Some of these people that we have mentioned. Abraham was a chosen one, hand-picked, you know, and greatness of God was upon him. He wasn't trying to be great. God had chosen. The people who are trying to be great in Genesis 11, say, we'll make ourselves great, we'll build a name to heaven, whatever. God scattered them. In the next chapter, Genesis 12, Abraham wasn't trying to be great. He was living in a land of the hidden among people that don't even know too much about the Lord. But God had picked him to be great. And greatness is from the Lord. And so God is the one that does the choosing. And all down, all these people. In Isaac shall that seed be called. Well, it looked like that seed would never come. Even there were times when Sarah said, look, I'm too old for this promise. This promise, how long are we going to wait? I mean, God had told us this thing for 25 years. 24 years, we're still here. You know, look, it's all right. I mean, it's the same thing if my maid, you know, conceives by you and I can still have that child. Let's organize this thing. All that and so forth. God was amused by it, but that's not God's purpose. You can bring yourself a lot of hurt if you try to engineer or re-engineer what God's trying to do. And look, all this problem that Israel has today, you know, with the Arabs and so forth, you know, hey, you know, it all stems from that. You should have just stayed with the word of promise. No matter how difficult it seems, it will sustain itself. God's word will always sustain itself. There is an ability inside God's word to carry out what God intended. This is the way it was in the beginning. What he intended, he spoke, and it came to pass. God spoke, right? And it stood fast, or it was done. And he commanded, and it stood fast. That's it. You know, that word will carry itself. So when God give you promise, it'll come to pass. All you got to do is believe it. And don't try to re-engineer it. Try to make it happen. That's what Sarah was doing. And Abraham should have said, no, we're going to wait for his promise. But, you know, women can be persuasive at times. And the man said, okay, fine. You know, and went along with it. All these problems we have today. But yet, the word of God will still come to pass. What is it that God has said to you? Praise God. Now, if you don't know, well, that's why people say, go find out. But listen, you know, you don't need a whole lifetime to find out. All you need is the Holy Spirit. Now, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, like in the olden days, they didn't even have the Holy Spirit. Yet, the Lord worked out his plans in their lives. How much more now that we have the Holy Spirit? And look at what Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit. I mean, let's read all the things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, we read verse 26. We're going to read a few scriptures here of what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit when it comes. What he will do for you. This is what we really need to see. He said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, right? John 14 and 26. He shall teach you all things. Now, what are some of the things you need to know? Well, what the Lord has for me in my life. Well, that's part of the all things. He will teach you all things. You know, that's it. So if you're going to be seeking anything at all, well, be seeking to have the Holy Spirit. When you have that Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things. Jesus already said that. But you must learn to listen. The learning to listen is something that we need to be taught. Samuel was taught by Eli. Learn how to listen for his voice. The voice will come. You don't need to pray for the voice. His voice will come. But you need to put yourself, pray that you may hear and be able to sift out all the noise and know that it's God. This is what we can be taught. But you must receive that Holy Spirit. When you receive that Holy Spirit, you know, and I'm not talking about speaking in tongues now. You know, some people confuse that. A lot of people think that, you know, Holy Spirit means speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about receiving the Holy Spirit. You will speak with tongues, but, you know, just speaking in tongues doesn't mean you have the Holy Spirit. Devils can speak in tongues. I've heard devils speak in tongues. So that doesn't prove anything. But when you do have a Holy Spirit, sure enough, you speak in tongues and you have some other giftings as well, not just speaking in tongues. People focus on speaking in tongues all the time. You know, but these are the things the Holy Spirit would do. It's not about speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit would teach you all things. Do I speak in tongues? Absolutely. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and it will bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I said unto you. These are the things the Holy Spirit will do. Now let's look at John 15 and 26. This is John 14, 26. Go one chapter over and look at John 15 and 26. Similar thing. He said, you know, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Huh. See, these are the things the Holy Spirit will do. You know, testify of me. Well, who is Christ? Christ is the centerpiece of the purpose of God. Christ is called the wisdom of God. Christ is called the power of God. Holy Spirit will be telling you of all these things, leading you into the knowledge of Christ. That's what testify of me means. You know, telling you about Christ, you know, and so forth. Showing you what it means. And you also will be able to testify of him to others once the Holy Spirit tells you who he is. Praise God. And let's look at John chapter 16 and verse 13. You know, what are the things the Holy Spirit will be doing in our lives? Well, he said, this Holy Spirit, when he comes, listen to this. I have yet many things to say unto you, which you cannot bear now. That was then. However, when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, that means now, at that time before the Holy Spirit, you couldn't hear, understand these things. But when the Holy Spirit is come, he will guide you into all truth. Anything you want to know. Want to know how to, you know, the will of God for your life? He will guide you into it. You must seek the Holy Spirit. He shall not speak of himself. Whatever he shall hear, he will speak. And he will also show you things to come. You want to know what's coming? He will show you. Praise God. So the Holy Spirit is the key. It's the person, your personal advisor, your personal guide, right? He's the governor over the entire church, but he's also your personal guide through life. You say, I want to know this thing. Well, turn to the Holy Spirit. That's how nobody can tell it to you. You know, God may help them, show them some insight, but look, knowing what God has for you in your life cannot come from somebody else. You know, it has to come from the Lord. You know, somebody may come and tell you, but God already told you, and they are only confirming it. You're waiting to hear it from the first time from somebody. What does that make you? Your father can't speak to you. You got to go speak to somebody else. This is what when I was a young man, and people try to prophesy over my life, I'm like, what? So me, I'm a bastard or what? You know, God can't speak to me. I'm his son. You know, God's not going to tell you something about my life if he didn't tell me. You know, he was going to tell me because I'm his son. Now, most of the time it's because we're obstinate and we not hear from God, or when we hear, we don't listen, and God will send somebody else. But he already told you. You know, he just said somebody else. He will not tell you the first time through somebody else what pertains to your life. No. Why? You know, he will tell it to you. The Holy Spirit is there to tell it to you. But if you are not listening, well, God may tell it to somebody else. And they say, oh, but he already told you. He already showed it to you. You just weren't paying attention. So that's the way it is. You know, now, Jesus said this thing in John chapter 3 and verse 8 when he was speaking to Nicodemus. He said, the wind blows where it listed. You hear the sound of it. But you can't tell. You know, until it's gone. You see the movement, but you don't know. You know, it says, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. Nobody can divine your life. Can't do it. Now, if you submit yourself to diviners, then they'll cajole something and tell it to you. But look, they can't read your palm. They can't divine your life. You are as the wind. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Nobody can tell where it's coming, where it's going. They don't know it. Can't tell it. So don't look to here and there if you say you're seeking the will of God. Seek the Holy Spirit, and He will guide you into all truth. 1 John 2 and 27. The anointing which you have received is no lie. The same anointing which you have received, He will abide in you, you know, and He will teach you all things. He said, let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. You know, let it abide in you, and so forth. And He said, the anointing which you have received abideth in you. And you need not that any man should teach you anything. But the same anointing teacheth you all things, and it's the truth, and it's no lie. And even if He said, I taught you, abide in Him. Now, when you're seeking God in your life, this is the thing. Go to the Lord, not to somebody else. The Holy Spirit. And who is the Lord in this case? The Holy Spirit. That's it. The Holy Spirit has been given to us as your personal guide through life. That's it. He'll tell you. He will not hide it from you. Jesus said it himself. Look, if you men, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, you know, how much more shall the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And you can't, you know, if you ask the Holy Spirit for bread, He will not give you stone. Some people say, well, I don't know if it's the devil talking to me. It's not the devil. Hey, look, did you ask God for His Spirit? Then you get the Spirit, not the devil. Praise the Lord. I mean, sometimes we give too much credence and too much. I mean, we just give the devil too much recognition. A devil said, the Lord will bruise the devil under your feet. He said, Jesus said, look, get thee behind me, Satan. The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. You know, the devil will do his thing, but so is the Holy Spirit doing his thing in my life. Praise the Lord. So that's our lesson today on providence and destiny. And this has aligned a little more on, you know, the personal leading of God. You know, now we haven't gone into, and I may go into it in this series before it's over. Yeah, how do you really hear from God? That's another total lesson in itself. You know, God is not a one-way traffic. And God can do anything. He can speak in any way. Many ways in which He speaks. God can use nature. God can use even circumstances. Now, we know the word of God will speak to you. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. God can tell you by dream, vision, whatever means. You know, but if God wants you to hear it, you will hear it. If you are not hearing it, He will send somebody like an Eli to you, and you will hear it. That's why sometimes somebody will come and prophesy into your life, because you are not paying attention. The Holy Ghost will be trying to tell you, but you're not paying attention. So God will send somebody to tell you. But if you check it out, you will realize that God already told you those things. You just were not paying attention or listening. You know, He's not going to go reveal your life to somebody else. You know, what about you? You know, that was then, maybe in the Old Testament when they didn't have the Holy Spirit. But now you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is right here with you. Now, all we got to do is say yes to Him. And if you don't know what the Lord will have you do, it's okay to say, Lord, what will you have me do? But it's not a prayer that you need to sit around for years trying to figure it out. No. Give God the permission to interrupt. Give Him the permission to tell you. And then you go about your business. And that called being a nurse, be. Are you called being this? Do it. If God needs to get a hold of you, He'll get a hold of you. Just give Him permission. But if you sit around, say, well, I don't know the will of God. I don't know the purpose of God. The devil will take advantage of that. People waste a lot of time. God will use whatever. It says, wherever you are, in whatever state you are called, therein abide. He will use it. Now, is that what God wants you to do? Well, the Holy Spirit will teach you. If not, if He wants you to do something, He'll tell you. That's right. You just, you know, just give him the permission. That's all he needs. You know, just give him your yes. But, you know, we don't need to sit around. There was one time that Jesus told them to sit around. That was before the Holy Ghost came. You know, after all sending them out and everything, this time I said, go tarry ye in Jerusalem and wait. It was a one-time thing. A one-time thing. Now that the Holy Spirit is come, the Holy Spirit is here now. You know, now, does that mean we should never wait on, I wait on the Lord, our Lord. So I'm not saying that, but I'm saying I'm not sitting around my whole life trying to figure out what it is God wants me to do. Well, thank God I already figured it out. But even if you haven't figured it out, you don't spend your whole life trying to figure it out. God will interject when he wants it. All you got to do is say yes. Even if you're trying to run away, he'll get you. Jonah was trying to run away and he got him still. Praise the Lord. And all these other people that he called, he will get them when he wants them. Even the one that was kicking against it like Saul of Tarsus. He was trying to destroy it, doing everything. But, you know, you can say, you can't kick against the pricks. So there you have it. Praise the Lord. So I hope this helps us to clear up some confusion in our minds and so forth. You know, God does have purpose for your life. And you're already in the will of God if you are in the will of God. I mean, if you're walking in the spirit, I want to say, then you are in the will of God. Now, if you're walking in the flesh, then that's something we got to deal with. You know, but our goal must be to walk in the spirit. If you live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. We did the walking in the spirit series already. Go back and check that out. You know, so that's how you do it. Praise the Lord. May the Lord give us understanding. Paul said, I speak as unto wise men. The Lord give you understanding in what I say. Well, may the Lord give you understanding in these things. We're not telling you not to seek the Lord. No, I'm telling you that you seek for the Holy Spirit. That's really what we need. If you have the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. If you're doing any seeking at all, spend time to seek for the Holy Spirit. More than speaking in tongues, speak for the Holy Spirit. And he will guide you into all truth. When he comes into your life, he shall guide you into all truth. He will testify of me and he will show you things to come. What else do you need? He's already promised it. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray over the room and I'm going to yield and leave it there. Praise God. And again, this was a lesson, another dimension on the purpose of God in your life. And in this today's lesson, we talked about destiny and providence. And I pray that the Lord give us understanding in these things. Father, I thank you. I give you, Lord, the praise and I give you the glory. Help us, Lord, to understand these things. Jesus asked disciples, do you now understand these things? I say, yeah, Lord. Well, help us, Lord, to understand these things. And I pray, Lord, that you will give us the grace to be submissive. This is really all the Lord wants to say. Give the Lord our yes. When he knocks, shall we open unto him? Praise the Lord. Lord, I pray that you will help us to open our hearts, open our lives unto you, and see the way that you are leading us. And lead us, you will. Because Jesus promised that when the good shepherd comes, he calls his own by name and he goes before them and they follow him. You are going to follow the Lord because you are his. You are his sheep. And because they know his voice. Well, if you don't know his voice, that's a different thing. But you do know his voice because you are his sheep. Now, and they said, oh, they will not follow strangers because they don't know the voice of strangers. And my sheep follow me, I give them eternal life. Glory to God. That's predetermined. And no one can take them out of my hands. Snatch them up? No. They can't do it. Even if they die, I will raise them up at the last day. If they are living, I will raise them up at the last day. If they are dead, I will raise them up at the last day. Either way, I will lose none of them. Powerful, powerful promises. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. May the Lord receive all the glory in our lives and receive our yes. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. Receive all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.